unravel mid-air collision over the Hudson River. Boy, I was shocked when I heard this. 9 people dead. They pulled the copter out of the water today. It was very tough, obviously, because of the conditions and how murky the water is. When you look down from any of the bridges, you could certainly sense that and see it. But a horrible thing for those people, some Italian tourists killed in that. 1 million people evacuated parts of China because of a typhoon. Ooh, it was nasty. And Tiger Woods, speaking of nasty, nasty with the stick or sticks. He wins his 70th PGA tournament. We'll talk about it in sports shorts. But first, over the weekend, oh, he was one of my favorite dolls when I was a kid. Guess what number one at the box office was?
What happened?
You passed out.
Remember, if someone faints...
Never miss their head.
You got it.
Now we know.
And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Ah, yes. G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra, had actually some bad buzz going into the weekend, but the scathing reviews didn't matter. Oh, man, people turned out for this thing. 46.2 million. That's one of the best openings for a non-sequel. Because if you remember Transformers, all that stuff, all of the big movies, like Night at the Museum, all of them have been sequels. This was not a sequel. So congratulations to the makers of G.I. Joe. I heard they had a hard time getting that script as a go. I like G.I. Joe. I didn't see the flick, but I'm dying to see it, to be honest. Gregory Brown joins us now. You know, there are G.I. Joe collectors clubs all over the country. He's the VP of one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he joins us on our national show. Hey, Greg, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
So what's the lore of G.I. Joe that kind of continues to hang with us even as we get a little bit older and we're not 10 years old anymore?
As far as, like, the history of G.I. Joe?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Well, G.I. Joe started actually back in 1964, and this is back when G.I. Joe was actually 12 inches tall, and he was actually modeled after more of, like, the 1950s, 1960s military figure. And then it was more, it was obviously more military, but he was kind of a nameless guy. They only had a Marine, they had a soldier, they had an airborne guy, Air Force, and they also had a Navy guy. But the G.I. Joe that the movie is based on is actually based upon G.I. Joe as he was conceived in 1982 when he was converted, obviously shortened down to 3¾ inch, and he became G.I. Joe Real American Hero. And that spawned comic books, cartoons, action figures, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, so do you think when they did that in 82, that that's also spawned a whole new generation of collectors? That's your business. Do you think that more people got interested in G.I. Joe that maybe missed the boat?
Well, I would say yes, 110% yes on that because, you know, you had your 60s, you had your 70s G.I. Joe collectors, and so Hasbro was looking for a way, you know, hey, how can we bring G.I. Joe back? And they saw that Star Wars was doing very successfully with the 3¼-inch figures, and they said, hey, let's bring G.I. Joe back. We'll make them smaller, and it was an instant hit again.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have a lot of different G.I. Joes? Do you have a G.I. Joe from the different eras? What's your personal collection like?
I was actually born at a time when G.I. Joe was kind of fading in the 70s, so I was actually collecting the Kung Fu Grip. You know, Fuzz had G.I. Joe in the 70s, and then in the 80s, I mean, I was still at an age where I was, you know, I started collecting the 3¾-inch. So I'm kind of caught right in the middle of my age group. I'm a little bit torn between the two. I still like the Kung Fu Grip and the guys with the fuzz-haired bears and the Adventure Team and that whole thing, but I still like, you know, Snake Eyes and Duke and Scarlet and all of them as well.
What do you think it is about G.I. Joe that, as you said, there were changes in G.I. Joe, but what is it about the G.I. Joe character that interests so many of us? I mean, bringing it back around, why is it? It's kind of like Barbie. Barbie continues, even though we're going through different generations. Still, Barbie's still out there hanging in, even with those darn Bratz dolls. But G.I. Joe is also hanging in there, too. So do you think it's because of the whole macho warrior, or like you said, it's, you know, American hero now? Do you think that's the deal? Like, hey, this is our American dude. This is our guy. This is our fighter. What is it?
I think when you strip it down to the barest essentials, it's basically, it's an army man. It's a toy soldier. I mean, ever since the days when boys were playing with toys, they were playing with toy soldiers. Either they're lead toy soldiers or they're plastic toy soldiers. And then, you know, Hasbro decided, let's make them articulated. So strip it down to the core. It's that. I think the reason that the G.I. Joe Real American Hero line has stayed so strong is because, you know, it really personified the American soldier. And that, you know, that he stood up for truth, justice, the American way, and that, you know, and that whole thing. And so you really can't go wrong with that concept.
Yeah, no kidding. Are there a lot of G.I. Joe collector clubs around the country?
Yeah. There's the main club, which is the International G.I. Joe Collectors Club. And then there's different chapters, which I'm the vice president of the VFW chapter here in Texas. But yeah, there's chapters all throughout the United States. I don't know if there's any in Canada or not, but if they're cut international, I'm guessing there are some spread out throughout the world.
Yeah. Did you go and see the movie over the weekend?
Yes, I saw it this weekend and took three of my kids with me, all three of my kids, in fact, and my wife, and we all enjoyed it.
Really? So you would give it, if we asked you to grade the movie for us, since I didn't see it, A, B, C, D. I know you're not going to give the movie a D. Are you giving it an A?
I would probably say about an A to an A minus. I was a little biased because, like I said, I grew up with the Fuzzhead G.I. Joes, so I was I'm a little bit biased towards that. But, you know, if you're going, I went into it wanting to see a movie that was just good, fun, action-packed entertainment, and that's what I got.
All right, so good. So that gives us a good sense. Was Dennis Quaid good?
Dennis Quaid was okay. He kind of had that John Wayne-esque attitude on it, so he really wasn't in it as much. It was more kind of like a Channing Tatum vehicle. So.
All right, I got you there. Greg Brown, it's a pleasure. Thanks, we appreciate it.
Thank you much.
All right, Greg Brown, as we said, he's one of those G.I. Joe collectors. Those collector clubs are all over the United States, and I guess I was stunned. Like I said, it had such a bad review across the board from so many movie critics, but yet it really thrived at the box office. So, you know, second place went to the movie that a lot of people thought might end up being number one, Julie and Julia. That had like 21 point something million at the box office. So Meryl Streep did pull in some people, but not the way G.I. Joe did. Wow, that's crazy. Then there was this other movie that we previewed, if you remember, called The Perfect Getaway, the bomb of the weekend. Although the premise, of course, was funny. Oh, this couple escapes, they go to Hawaii, and then they get duped into hooking up with a bunch of losers that are trying to kill them. So The Perfect Getaway was seventh with 5.8 million. Wow. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, the aftermath of what now happens over the airspace in New York, because here we go again. Of course, much different than what's happened recently with the Canadian geese and stuff, and they took care of that problem. But the airspace itself and the fact that it's not regulated. Now you have a helicopter company, and you've got a small plane, and the two end up colliding, and you've got tourists who lose their life from Italy. And there have been accidents in the past, but a lot of people like to fly over Manhattan. You wonder if they're going to change the rules of the game. We'll go deep on that. But next, speaking of going deep, remember there was a movie called The Deep. I think that was from the 70s. We're going to talk about sharks with Fred Barnett as Shark Week wrapped up on the Discovery Channel. That's next here on ATN.
G.I. Joe!
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net and start changing your life today.
I should have done it to myself. I don't know how many of you watch Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. I did. And since I like to snorkel and occasionally dive, I don't know why I insist on torturing myself that way and watching, like, Blood in the Water. That was one of the episodes. Or anything to do with the summer of 2001, the summer of the shark. Because, of course, then it scares me. Then I keep thinking, well, I'm going to have to somehow figure out a way to go down in the cage. Where is it safe for me to swim? Joining us now from Hawaii, where I just was a couple of weeks ago. Awesome place. Fred Barnett. He's got a book
Aloha.
Called... Aloha to you. The book is called Shark Stories, 101 Amazing Real-Life Shark Tales. And, Fred, I read the book. It's great because the way you lay it out, you've got pictures, and you specifically lay out the different shark attacks and also things that have happened with whales and dolphins, so there are other things thrown in there as well. What prompted you to write the book?
I'm sorry. We have sort of a delay from Hawaii here. I put in a little of everything just to show people that they don't have to worry about the shark so much as many other things that can kill you out there instead. So
no kidding.
About the sharks.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you're a professional underwater videographer and stuff, and you're a performer, musician, all that kind of deal. But I wondered, I asked this, you probably didn't catch the delay, but what was it that made you put this book together? Did your fascination like mine with water and what's underneath and sharks or what?
It was a very interesting course of action. It took over 13 years to really put the book together. I used to do a program with the public schools here in Hawaii where I'd take out live animals and shark jaw specimens to show the kids in all the different grades in many different schools. And as I was showing the shark jaws, I would collect the story here and there off the odd news pages of Yahoo or wherever. And I started collecting so many of them with so many weird twists to them about sharks solving murders by finding the arm with a tattoo on it, things like that. There were so many odd shark stories of sharks jumping up on the beach and trying to eat people, things like that, that I collected them. And there was enough easily for a book. I put out a 100-page book about 13 years ago, and now it's gotten up to 300 pages. And it includes all kinds of other things that happen around the ocean. And usually a lot of these have something to do with people doing either something really silly or stupid or cruel to each other, and not so much having the shark be the bad guy in each of these stories. It's sometimes the people. So they're very evenly balanced. Sometimes the stories look like they're coming from the point of view of the shark. So.
Yeah, I noticed that. I actually like that you did it. You put some you put a lot of facts in this. Like, out of 100 shark bite victims every year, 25 die from their wounds. They don't really tell you that part of it. So that's, I think that's a pretty high amount, don't you?
Yes, and a lot of them are just called missing. I could tell you many stories from Hawaii where people just considered missing. And, of course, you know, later a leg shows up here or something else shows up inside of a shark there. There are more sharks than are reported, more shark attacks than are reported. But then again, we kill over 100 million sharks, and that's a low estimate every year just for something like shark fin soup where the rest of the body of the shark is dumped into the ocean just for the fins. And that's a terrible tragedy. And we're also ruining the ecosystem at the same time. So there's an imbalance there, but still shark attacks are pretty rare when you consider how many people are in the water, how many sharks are in the water. They're very well behaved most of the time.
Yeah, no kidding. And you mentioned that the thing about finning. When I was in Maui, I did the Malakini crater, and I was on the boat. They took us to Charlottetown and to the crater. And, of course, the Pacific Whale Foundation, that's their mission, is to make people aware of what's going on in the water and what's happening to all kinds of, you know, like dolphins and whales and also sharks. And they talked about that finning process. And I don't know, a lot of people listening to America Tonight realize they actually cut the fins off of the shark, so how are they going to swim? And then they use it for fin soup. It's like $50 for a bowl of fin soup, like in Japan and some other places. And so there are a lot of petitions circulating to try to stop this. Very sad that you just brought that up. How long has that been going on?
It's been going on for decades already, probably at least 100 years. I don't know how long shark fin soup has been in existence, but it's mostly boats out of the Orient who are still along all of our coastlines catching sharks, not just their own. And so they're pretty much covering the ocean and taking out just about every shark they can find just to make a few dollars, of course. And it is very sad because eventually we won't have things like Jaws to watch anymore. We won't have Shark Week. There won't be any sharks if they keep going at the rate they're going. Already on the East Coast, they've already cut the population by 85% in just the last 15 years. You know, the entire shark population. So it's very desperate over there. It's a sad situation, yeah.
It is sad. Another interesting fact that you mentioned, which made me happy, is that you said between 1926 and 1981, only one victim was a woman. So what's the deal that men are attacked, 31 more times than women?
Well, up until recently, more men were in the water. And now that women are taking up water sports, you know, more actively diving and boogie boarding and surfing, you know, of course, the numbers are catching up. Sharks do not discriminate. Maybe they have this idea that they're supposed to be man-eaters, and that's what they go after. But I think pretty soon it's going to be pretty equal. We've had a very famous surfer over here, a little gal. She's very young still, only 14. Her name's Bethany Hamilton, and she lost an arm to a shark, and that was probably our most famous attack in Hawaii in the last few years. And she's still out there surfing. You know, she just knows it was one of those things and could happen again. But, you know, she's not afraid of the ocean. She's a very brave girl.
In shark stories, like, as you say, you talk about the stupidity of people that often they put themselves in the wrong place. What can people do to kind of fend off the odds in their favor? Like not swim at night, right? Not snorkel at night in the middle of the ocean.
Well, right. That was one story I was involved in. But, don't snorkel at night. Always make sure you're with people. And don't carry, let's say, a string of bloody fish with you if you're diving and spearfishing. I was just talking to, in fact, the station in New Orleans two nights ago. They woke me up at 2:30 in the morning to talk to me because of my time difference. And they had a fellow who was a fisherman just surf casting, and a bull shark basically almost nearly ripped his foot off. The thing was, he was carrying a big string of fish with him, attracting everything and anything that would love to eat. So, yeah, you don't carry around advertisements like that with you. As far as my own experience, I made two big mistakes one night. We were in Kona looking for manta rays, which is absolutely the most fun thing you could ever do in the ocean. It really is. But I swam away from the group. I got tired of waiting for these manta rays to show up. I got bored, so I went away from the group. had my camera going, and I had my light down in the water, and a big shark appeared under me, and I told the group, I yelled across the water, you know, hey, come on over here, there's a shark down here, you got to see this. Everybody's saying, that's okay, you just stay over there. But meanwhile, my daughter was with my wife over near the boat where I was supposed to be. My parents were watching this whole thing from the hotel above on the cliff, and they could hear every word that was there. And a fellow from New Mexico swam out all by himself from the shoreline, which is a good half-hour swim in the middle of the black ocean. He came out to our boat. We asked him if he needed a ride back, and he refused. And the next morning, we found out that he had disappeared. And my parents were greatly upset. You know, don't you ever take your daughter out there again? And we never got a straight answer from the police force, whatever happened to this visitor from New Mexico. But that was a dumb thing for me to swim off on my own. It could have been me. When you see these animals swim, you know you're not going to be able to outswim them.
Right.
I have a whole chapter in my book devoted to punching sharks, which surfers punching sharks. And that's one way people can defend themselves if they see a shark coming at them. They have a very sensitive nose. And so,
right, so but, just make sure you punch them. They talk about that a lot in the Discovery series, too. And you're right, you talked about that in your book, too. All right, if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, Fred, Shark Stories, how do they get it?
Well, that's the easiest way I found is just go to Amazon.com. It's still basically new. It's out in the stores here in Hawaii, but it's still traveling little by little. It's all over Amazon, though. It's been doing very well on Amazon, and it's been doing very well on Barnes & Noble. And we have Powell's books over here on, well, we have it on the West Coast, a very famous bookstore, and they're setting up a book signing for me in October, so I'll be going to the mainland in October to do a few signings.
Very good.
Heart-related health problems.
Amazon.com's great. If your listeners go to sharkstories.net, just think of a fishing net, sharkstories.net, they can find the links on my website right there and get a few samples of stories about babies rescuing dolphins, about sharks coming back to life. I call it one of the stories, Franken Shark.
Perfect. That's Fred, we're out of time, but that sounds good. We'll tell everyone, go to Amazon.com. Shark Stories, 101 Amazing Real Life Shark Tales. Thanks, Fred.
Oh, thank you. It's fun. And I hope to visit you sometime over there. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Bye-bye. Coming up next, we're going to talk about health care, talk about chumming the waters. Boy, an op-ed piece is supposed to appear in the USA Today where Nancy Pelosi accuses the people of town hall meetings of being un-American. I have some of those details next.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
You worry. If you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
So far, we have a lot of name-calling on both sides of health care reform. Will it really be pulled off in the end? Will there be some sort of health care reform? And how many of you are afraid of complete government control? I think that's part of it. I mean, I'm sorry. Look at other programs and how swimmingly they're going along. It doesn't make you have a lot of faith, let's say, in what the government can do for you. Right? So this new poll comes out and shows pretty clearly that Americans are divided on the healthcare overhaul. And we certainly know that here on America Tonight, judging by all the emails that we've gotten. We were going to get to emails here in a second because most of them have to do with healthcare. But the latest is this one. Nancy Pelosi is supposedly part of an op-ed piece that is coming out in the USA Today. And in the body of this opinion piece, calling Americans who are going to these town hall meetings un-American. So as supporters and opponents of overhauling the healthcare system are out there shouting things out in the court of public opinion in these town hall style meetings, there is a couple of big complications. One, because I don't know if it's easily a Republican-Democratic divide, right? So the USA Today Gallup poll found a couple of things that, one, naturally, and I'm not surprised, seniors are the most resistant to the idea of changing the current system. And of course they are, because we're talking about Medicare. And then there's these accusations about planning for the end of life care and what about controlling insurance costs? Certainly there is a reason to be a little bit worried about what will happen. So in an op-ed piece in the USA Today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, both Democrats, are decrying basically what they call un-American tactics used to disrupt some of the congressional forums. And there is this whole idea that the people who were going to all the forums are plants, were sent there, were drummed up by lobbyists, etc. And I'm not really buying that. I don't know that there aren't some people that are sent in or were asked to go to various meetings, but I think for the most part it really is just the average Joe or Josephine stumbling into most of the meetings, and a lot of them are the older people too as well. Mitch McConnell was on Fox News on Sunday, and he said the very same thing the Democrats are saying. He accused the Democrats of trying to demonize the people who are pretty energetic about the conversation of health care reform. So anyway, this USA Today survey, July 10th through the 12th, showed some of what's happening in public opinion. Of the adults, and there was like a poll of 3,000 and change, the significant differences on what the key goal of healthcare overhaul should be, this is what they said, 2/3 of blacks and 6 in 10 Hispanics say it should be expanding coverage to the uninsured. 6 in 10 whites say controlling costs. Westerners were more inclined to say expanding coverage is more important. Southerners say it's controlling costs. So they really broke this down. And obviously, the biggest challenge is there isn't urgency, and we know this from what we've talked about on ATN. If you have insurance and your health is good, you're not as worried about it versus somebody who has poor health and is worried about switching a job or any of that sort of stuff. You know, here's the bottom line. Are there problems with the health care system? Of course there are problems with the health care system. Are there things that could be better? Absolutely. Are there things that could be worse? Yes. And the things that could be worse, and looking into the great abyss of, geez, one minute we're offering you a bologna sandwich, and the next minute we're offering you oysters. You know, in other words, I'm trying to make the differentiate between we're giving you the Cadillac here, and then the next you're getting the junker in the next breath. And we're not explaining specifically what some of the meat of this healthcare reform is, and that's the problem. I mean, that's the problem, right? So you look at the monstrosity of this healthcare bill, and more people are starting to read it, and except for Congress, of course, because they're, according to Arlen Specter, it's just too much. We can't read it. So we don't want government takeover. A lot of us don't want government takeover. Because, first of all, watching the way government has bungled other things, and second of all, the fact that there are no specifics that are really, really being laid out. What is the voice of the people? You're just going to change it, and we don't really know what's in this supposed bill in the House or the Senate. That's not good. And here's the thing. Try reading H.R. 3200 or 3200. It's crazy. I mean, it is. And what they do say about the elderly is very confusing. So I can see how it could be interpreted to be akin to euthanasia. It might not have been what was intended, but that's the problem. This continues to be the problem. It's not what's intended, but it's what it is, right? And so we're all about liberty. And I think if we're talking about something that's such a big change like healthcare, you have to have input from these frustrated Americans. You have to have input. I mean, is it really un-American, Nancy Pelosi, to question the government? Or, you know, we throw freedom of speech out the window. So are we un-American for wanting to know more about the healthcare reform? We want it spelled out before everybody, you know, applauds and breaks out the champagne and says happy days are here again, because now we all are going to be taken care of, and we're all going to be able to afford it, and the costs aren't going to cripple us. I think that's fair. I think it's fair that people want to know more about healthcare. I didn't mean to get off so much on that tangent, but because of Pelosi's comments, which we'll talk about a little bit more on our next America Tonight. Because, of course, we have the all-important news you can abuse. And in news you can abuse, check this out. In Tampa, Florida, there are a bunch of inmates that are offering a taste of what it's like in jail. And so what does it take? A taste of what it's like in jail. It's called Jailhouse Fire Hot Sauce. The Hillsborough County Jail inmates already have original smoke and no escape varieties, and they made it from their peppers that they grow in the prison system, and they're selling this hot sauce. So they came up with the recipe a couple of years ago, and they've made 10,000 on the sauce. So each bottle is about $7. And then what they do, the income that they get keeps up the greenhouse and buys the basic supplies. I mean, bravo for them for doing that, because at least they're doing something while they're in prison. And if the theory is you're rehabbing, I'd have to think that that's a pretty decent way to go about rehabbing in prison. And if they're growing gardens and selling the stuff and bottling it, it keeps everybody busy. I'd be curious as to what it tasted like, the really super hot stuff. I'm a hot sauce person. Let's go to Kansas. This guy has to be lucky. You know, they say how tough it is, the odds of winning the lottery or being struck by lightning. Edward Williams is certainly the definition of a lucky guy. He won the lottery for a second time in a year. He, in Wichita, he won $75,000 in September. It was a $10 scratch ticket. Then, last week, he won the Super Kansas cash drawing. He got a jackpot of about $900,000, so just shy of $1 million. Oof, that is lucky. I mean, to get 75 would be exciting, I would think. Hey, Matt, have you ever won any kind of lottery money, just like $10 or a couple dollars back?
I've won money on scratch-offs before, but that's about it.
Did you win anything good on scratch-offs?
I think the most I've won is probably like $50. And then a couple pull tabs, you know, when I'm out after softball with some of the guys, we'll pull some money in and try to win some pull tabs. I've done that before, won a couple $100 that way, but that's about it. I don't gamble all that much other than, you know, playing cards with my friends and stuff. So not a huge risk taker as far as the gambling goes.
Of course, because if you lose money, and that's money you need.
Right. So. You know, the most thing I do is, the only thing I regularly do is probably I buy a Powerball ticket, you know, probably once or twice a month.
Yeah, and that makes sense because Powerball sometimes is pretty, can be a high number, so why not throw in a couple of bucks for that? You know, you see some of the outrageous pots that it's gone up to. I've done some scratch-off things. I'm not a big gambler either, and I've won a couple of $100 doing that. And if the lottery, if the Mega Millions is really high, sometimes I'll do it. I think the Mega Millions, which many states where you're listening to me, it's offered, and I think Mega Millions is up to 125 this week, 125 million. That'd be sweet. What would you do with $125 million? It can help a lot of people. Be easy to make your life, anyone in your life, comfortable. And then after that, you could start your own charity and give back and do whatever it is that, you know, that you'd want to do with the money. But I'd have to think with that amount of money, you could certainly be pretty powerful to like I said, help a lot of people. Hey, coming up around the bend, we're going to have odds and ends and, of course, birthdays. And there is a slew of birthdays. One final thought on the strange news. There's always weird things with cars and, you know, the 7-year-old driving the car to get away from going to church. Well, the Vermont State Police, and I know people are listening to us in Vermont, charged a New Jersey man with drunk driving. They got a call after a car was being driven backwards on Interstate 89. Oh, that's pretty erratic. Start going in reverse like that, there's a good chance they might test your blood alcohol level. Stay with us. Birthdays coming up around the bend.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette, and even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit premiumecigarette.com. That's premium, the letter E, cigarette.com. Premiumecigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Hey, are you getting jammed up by property taxes? Coming up on our next America Tonight, we're going to talk about property taxes. I'll tell you where it's really bad in California. We got an expert to dissect it. I've had a lot of friends lately complaining about that. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Here in America Tonight, also coming up in a couple of weeks, we have Nail the Score. And I think most of you know what Nail the Score is about. It's really fun. We pick a game of the week in the NFL and dissect it and have a score guess. And you don't have to know anything about football. You just pick a side. Like, let's say the Giants are playing the Eagles. Well, you know I'm going to pick the Eagles. But you could pick the Giants. You could pick the Eagles. But you tell me what you think the final score is. In other words, you try to nail the score. So you pick a score. It could be anything. 27 to 14, whatever you think it's going to be. And if you're correct, you win incredible prizes, including a cell phone from America Tonight. So we have a great prize pack. I hope somebody wins it. It's really tough. We had one winner one time who won during basketball. We did a little special basketball thing. But nobody has ever nailed the score in the NFL. Come close, but never actually nailed the score. All right, we have a lot of interesting things coming up, too, for this week in history. In fact, not today, but tomorrow, Alcatraz would have opened back in 1934. Now people go and it's a tourist destination. People go and visit it, take the little boat out and see what it's like. On this day in history, however, and that would be August 10th, back in 1846, that was when the Smithsonian was created. I don't know how many people listening to me have ever taken a trip to D.C., but if you go and you go to the Smithsonian, some people don't realize this. The Smithsonian isn't just one big museum. It's like the Air and Space Museum, and then there's four other museums. It's, you can never just see the Smithsonian, I don't think, even in a couple of days. It takes a long time to go through. The best one, though, I personally, for me, is the Air and Space Museum. And there's so many cool things that you get to walk through and see and touch. And, you know, it's not paper mache models of some of the capsules that went up. It's the actual capsule. And you get to crawl through it, and it's a blast. So if you get a chance to go there, make sure the one that you hit up, if you can hit the other ones up, that's fine, but make sure you hit up the Air and Space Museum. Other things that happened on this day in history include, or this week in history, actually, because somebody sent me a note on this, is that the T-Rex bones were discovered. I mean, now you think of dinosaurs and Jurassic Park and, you know, how big the whole dinosaur thing is. And absolutely, that back in the day, back in 1990, that was pretty huge, because some of our later discoveries actually have proven out some of the things that have been written in books. Okay, here's something else that happened on this day in history. In 1977, Son of Sam was arrested terrorizing a lot of women in and around New York City. Also in 2003, temperatures in the UK topped 100 for the first time during that horrible European heat wave. And a bunch of people in France died. It was so awful, if you remember, because, and especially in the UK too, that's not the normal weather there. And hey, you know, we've all dealt with it in the United States. I was mentioning it at the top of America Tonight, how rough it's been around the country, but topping 100 for them, 2003 was nasty. In the entertainment world, remember Candid Camera, how big that's been, and there's been offshoots of that? Candid Camera actually debuted back in 1948. In 1950, Sunset Boulevard premiered, and that still every once in a while bubbles up, and was a very, very popular play. And in the world of books, in 1912, Virginia and Leonard Woolf married. And there's some great lines from those old Virginia Woolf books. Do yourself a favor. If you're not familiar with any Virginia Woolf, just go to the library and page through a couple of them. Guarantee you'll get a good line out of it. From the presidential ranks in 1874, Herbert Hoover was born. If we look to the sports world, back in this day in history, in 1981, Pete Rose set a National League hits record. He was the hits king, and a lot of people think Pete Rose shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but shouldn't be back in baseball. Because if you look at some of the other things that have happened, and now with the steroid scandal, I mean, give me a break. If you're going to have everybody else in there, then you need to have Pete Rose in there. And a lot of people in the Hall of Fame think that. They don't think he should be reinstated back into baseball, but they believe that he should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame for being the hit king. If we look at a couple of other things that happened back on this day, August 10th in 1993, there was a three-ship collision that caused a tremendous oil spill. Do you remember that? I mean, oh man, it was covered all over the place. And if we go back a little bit further, in Cold War days in 1949, Truman signed the National Security Bill. If we go back in history to the Civil War in 1861, the Battle of Wilson's Creek in Missouri, pretty huge, bloody battle. If we go back and look at the automobile, since some of us have such a fascination with the our love affair with the automobile, in 1897, the oldest automobile club was founded. And in 1986, there was a race held behind the Iron Curtain, which was obviously a big deal because they'd never done that before. We move now, Maestro, please, to birthdays.
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, celebrating, easy for me to say, celebrating a birthday on Sunday, then we'll fast forward into the 10th because there was a lot of famous people we would have missed. Gillian Anderson from The X-Files is 41. Eric Bana, who I think is a great actor, he also turns 41. He played the Hulk, remember? Played Bruce Banner in a Hulk movie. He's an Australian actor. Deion Sanders, of course, the only athlete to play in the Super Bowl and the World Series, 42 years old. Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, a slew of other hits, and supposedly she's making a comeback, 46 years old. Melanie Griffith, married to Antonio Banderas, leading lady in a lot of comedies like Working Girl, 52. Sam Elliott, Beef, It's What's for Dinner, 65 years old, and of course a big Western actor. And Christopher Cuomo, a lot of people are big Christopher Cuomo fans. He turned 39 years old on Sunday. But their birthdays are over, as for the purposes of this show. Funny, Melanie Griffith's birthday was on Sunday. Antonio Banderas celebrates a birthday, 49 years old, on August 10th, this day. Rosanna Arquette, 50 years old, big birthday for her. Desperately Seeking Susan, big showbiz family. I think her brother's kind of funny. He's married to Courtney Cox. Also celebrating a birthday, anybody know Lucas Till? Lucas Till is a mere 19 years old. Yeah. Think about it. Hannah Montana movie, baby. Miley Cyrus picked him to co-star in that movie. Nicole Bass, a female bodybuilder and professional wrestler, 45 years old. If you're into wrestling, you would know her name. Also celebrating a birthday on this day. I love this song. Schwim Schwimmel, 55 years old. He's an artist and the author of a pretty well-known Dear Children of the Earth. Ian Anderson, who was the vocalist of Jethro Tull, 62 years old. A little bit older, celebrating his 69th birthday, the Righteous Brothers tenor who sang Unchained Melody in 1965. Such a big hit, 69 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, the great Jimmy Dean. Anybody know Jimmy Dean? I actually met Jimmy Dean when I was doing a morning show somewhere. 81 years old, went into the sausage business, but he had that song, Big Bad John. And picture Jimmy Dean with that young-looking face, just a little bit older, giant buckle on his pants, one of those rodeo buckles and boots. And that's Jimmy Dean, 81 years old. Happy birthday if you're celebrating a birthday. Celebrating another day of being above ground is always a good thing.
Where's the Tito show right now?
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready? I love me some meat. I can't stand myself.
Okay, show's over, folks. Let's move. Bye-bye. Let's pick this thing up. Let's go for it. Top. One, two, three. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for flying with us. Bye-bye.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bye-bye.
I don't get it.
There's nothing to get. Bye-bye.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.